Again, welcome. We're glad to have every person here this morning. A man in the Old Testament with the name of Job said, "The churning inside me never stops." Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you ate something wrong? Or maybe there's something that's really bothering you? Chuck Coles was telling me this morning that something going on in his life that has him just churning inside. It's tough for him to sleep. I think we've all had times like that. Job's younger friend Elihu said, "Inside, I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins ready to burst." And I suspect that most of us have had times like that as well. Have you felt other things inside you? Upset stomach, nervous stomach, things that were on your mind, stresses that you had, maybe something you ate, something you drank that didn't settle well, maybe medication having problems in your stomach or whatever it may be. But something inside you lets you know it's not normal. What's inside you currently? The Bible tells of many things that people had inside them. Some people were filled with grief and fury. Had a time like that? Other people were filled inside with fear. Some were filled with wisdom, and some were filled with joy and gladness. And I hope we've had a lot of times where we felt like that inside. Some, the Bible says, were filled inside with destruction. Others were filled with praise of God and with laughter and delight. Some were filled with schemes to do wrong. Some were filled with indignation. I suspect most of us have had a time like that. And yet others were filled inside with disgrace and shame. Some were filled with pride. Some were filled with grief and some with compassion. And others with jealousy. A lot of different things happen inside us, don't they? Some were filled inside with the fruit of righteousness. There's something, though, that is inside all Christians that we do not feel, or at least it's a rarity if we feel it. We may not even be aware of it. We may know nothing about it. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 says, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.'" Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 assures that at our baptism into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not told what the Holy Spirit is at that point. We're not told what the gift is of the Holy Spirit. We're not told what it means to receive that gift. Some people think that the gift is a spiritual gift that's explained in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the Holy Spirit was recognized in the Old Testament as God's agent of power for putting God's will into action. So the Holy Spirit is part of what we sometimes refer to as the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit appears in different forms throughout the Bible to accomplish the Father's will. When we look at a further study, a more in-depth study of the New Testament, it suggests that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit itself. Jesus' follower Paul impressed on Christians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" To Paul, this was something that needed to be understood. He was surprised that they didn't know that, or didn't recognize that, or didn't think about that. Do you not know? He felt like they should know whether it was through teachings or whether it was a sense, an understanding that God had done this. So let's think about this, kind of a logical approach to this, a connection of things, if you will. If the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, then the Holy Spirit is a blessing to you and I who are Christians. If the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead and it's living inside each of us who are Christians, and if each Christian serves as a temple of the Holy Spirit, that means that a part of the Godhead lives within each of us who is a Christian. If that's the case, then we must constantly think about the honor that God is giving to each of us who is a Christian, to choose to live within each one of us. And if that's the case, then we must constantly think about the honor that we must give God through our thinking, through our actions, through our speech, throughout the totality of our lives. Why does God place the Holy Spirit within us? John chapter 14 and verses 15 through 17 tell us through Jesus' words to his followers, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." The word counselor in this context means guide. Jesus was a guide to God's will. When he left, he'd leave the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, to guide them and be with them and in them forever. That's pretty significant, isn't it? Have you ever given that much thought, that it has been God's choice to place the Holy Spirit within us at the moment we are baptized into Christ? That the Spirit is there for a purpose, not to guilt us, but to guide us. The Spirit is there to cause us to realize how honored we are as a child of God, and to help us to remember how much we need to honor our Father God. That we've been given this great blessing. After more teaching, Jesus continued in verses 25 through 26, saying this, "All this have I spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Some translations render it, "everything I have commanded you." In John 15 and verse 26, the next chapter, Jesus added, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." In John chapter 16, verses 8 on through verse 11, Jesus said, "When he comes," speaking of this Counselor, the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." So the Holy Spirit was to be within each of Jesus' followers, each one who gives our lives to Christ. each one who not only recognizes that God exists, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God and our Savior, but who commits to following him, to giving him their life, for the totality of their life on this earth. The Spirit within to guide, to teach, to remind, to testify about Jesus, and to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit would do all of these things to us, for us, aiding us, as it lives in us, and thereby being with us always. And it would do these things through us to show God to the world. We would be that living image, if you will, of Jesus as we submit ourselves to him. Further, in Romans 8, chapter 8 and verses 26 through 27, we're assured as Christians of this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I can't even imagine that. And I think this writer, Paul, is stating it that way to acknowledge the fact we can't. We cannot imagine what that's about. But it's written to assure us that the Holy Spirit within us is doing those things that we cannot express. We don't know how to frame. We don't understand even what's going on within ourselves. But the Spirit does, because it's of God. And God knows all things. And he understands us in ways that we don't even understand ourselves. He goes on to say, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. These things will not happen magically. And they will not happen automatically. And they will not happen without our conscious participation and desire. In other words, that's where our heart is. We're vested in this. This is who we are. This is what we're about. This is our main concern of life. These things will happen to the extent that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, which are pleasing and which are holy to God, in order to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to God's will and away from our own. They will happen as we submit ourselves, as we sacrifice our wills to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which is into God's character. And these traits are called, in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 23 through 25, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the character of the Godhead, the traits that identify and that are limited to, in certain respects, the Godhead. They're limited to the Godhead in the sense that they are completely full. They're not partial. You and I, as much as we give ourselves to growing in these traits, we'll develop in them, we'll excel in them, we'll never reach the perfection in them, as the Godhead is. Offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God, being transformed in our minds to God's will, and submitting to the Holy Spirit's leadership are mind and life-changing choices and actions. I wish there were a way that I could adequately emphasize those things enough. But giving ourselves to God in these ways, really realizing the fullness of what it means to give our lives to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which is within us, to give ourselves over wholeheartedly to growing in these traits, these are mind and life changing aspects, which are choices and actions that will permeate and prioritize the course of our lives. We no longer follow the values and priorities of our culture, nor do we follow our own values and priorities. And that's often the toughest nut to crack, isn't it? Instead, we thoughtfully ask first, what are God's values? What are God's priorities? What does God want for me to do? Where is the Holy Spirit guiding me? Our first questions, our first priorities. And for this to be our constant way of thinking, we must intentionally make space or time in our lives to consider the Holy Spirit's leadership in our life. And we fill our lives with so many things, it's hard for us to make the space or the time to do that. But unless we do, we're not really serious about following this leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're not really serious about taking on these traits of the Godhead. We're not really serious about being identified with God as his children and being identified by other people and being drawn to God through us because we're reflecting him. Unless we do this, make space, make time to meditate upon these things and to consider, how are these things growing, developing in my life? We will put out the Spirit's fire within us. 1 Thessalonians talks about that idea, that we need to be careful, very careful, that we do not put out the Spirit's fire. And what that means is the Spirit's fire is light to guide us. It's power to warm our hearts so that we're not cold-hearted. And it's enablement given by the Spirit to serve God by blessing others to God's glory. Whatever we do without the Spirit will not glorify God. It will not point to him. And so that's just another reason that we need to give ourselves over wholeheartedly to the Holy Spirit, which is within us, to everything that it is there to do for us and with us and through us. If we've wholeheartedly given ourselves to the Spirit's leadership in our life, then we're aware of the Spirit's continuous movement within our lives. And so we're not surprised that it acts in ways that it will confirm its work within us. There have been countless times that I have stood up here preaching, and after preaching a sermon, someone has come up to me in the lobby and said that earlier that morning, they had taught the same subject from a different angle in another Bible class. And yet we had not collaborated about that at all, had no knowledge each other was going to be teaching or preaching about that at all. And to me, that is an act of the Holy Spirit. God had an agenda that particular morning. He wanted something to get through to us. He wanted us to hear something that we needed to hear, that we needed to act upon, we needed to react upon, we needed to do something with. And so here's two lessons by two people who have no knowledge that the other's going to teach it, but it needed to be said. Some of you are familiar with Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He was on PBS for decades. He passed away a few years ago. He told this story about himself on one occasion. He said, "My wife and I were worshiping with friends of ours in a little church. I was at that time in seminary." Fred Rogers was an ordained Lutheran minister. "And in the middle of my homiletics course," in other words, his preaching course. "During the sermon, I kept ticking off every mistake I thought the preacher was making. He must have been 80 years old if he was a day. When this interminable sermon finally ended, I turned to one of my friends, intending to say something critical about the sermon. I stopped myself when I saw tears running down her face. She whispered to me, 'He said exactly what I needed to hear.' And that was really a seminal experience for me, a turning point. I was judging, and she was needing, and the Holy Spirit responded to her need, not my judgment." I've preached more sermons than I would like to admit to, that when I was preparing them seemed like they were going to be a home run. But by the end of the first inning of that sermon, I felt like I was only going to strike out and the score would be zero. At the invitation, I consciously felt like I should repent for a lousy sermon. I went to the lobby feeling lower than I can even express to you. But after the closing prayer, invariably, one or more people came up to me telling me that they really got a lot out of what I preached that morning. And then I knew that the Holy Spirit was at work despite me, not because of me. Jesus' follower Paul told Christians in Titus chapter 3 and in verses 3 through 7 these words: "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But, one of those small words that turns the whole picture around. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." It's not about us, is it? It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit. The washing of rebirth and renewal occurs at our baptism, as our selfish way of life dies, and as we're born anew into a totally new life in Christ. In that renewal, the Holy Spirit enters us and gives us eternal hope. In Romans 15 and verse 13, Paul prayed this for Christians: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." There's just so many ways that the Holy Spirit is active within us as God's children. So many ways that we are taught through Scripture that we can know about, so many ways that we can feel about in certain senses. Certain things, though, go beyond our understanding. Only people who've been baptized into Christ have God's Holy Spirit living in them. And with that, they have all of the blessings that the Spirit brings. All of that within us. What's inside of you? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it some of the things I mentioned near the outset of this sermon? A whole variety of things can be within us. A lot of them can be good. A lot of them can be very harmful for us and for people around us. But the good things that can be within us can bless us eternally and bless those around us. And we can leave, as we leave this world, we can leave a blessing or series of blessings behind, because the Holy Spirit not only lived within us, but was active within us because we participated, because we sought the Holy Spirit's action, because we looked forward to it, because we followed its leading. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit leading us over the next 4 Sundays, and I hope you'll be here for all of those. There's so much there that's involved, so many things that we need to consider and that we need to pray about and that we need to put into action in our lives, that our lives can be this glorious reflection and honor of God. But what is in you right now? Today. if we can be of help to you in bringing you closer to God and the Holy Spirit living in you, we would be blessed if you would come forward at this time as we stand and sing.